Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and this is Horse Tales. We're here at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center. Very, very slow morning this morning.
Do you have any works at all?
Well, not before, prior to the break, because I couldn't even see the 16th pole, much less the fog had, as they say, sawed in. And I didn't have anything before the break. And then right during the break, they renovate the track between 8 and 8:30. And it started to light up, and the track's muddy from all that rain yesterday, of course, and I ended up with about 7 or 8 works, something like that.
That's all.
Yeah, it was like a day off. I could have slept in. Nobody would have missed me, I'm sure. But, well, what are we going to do today? Have an interview with Frank Betancourt. He's going to come around about 11 o'clock. Frank's a trainer for Oxbow Farm. That's Al Preston's place over here in Bourbon County. And he trains on the farm, and then he brings in here and trains out of here also. And he had a very nice horse in here earlier named Flat Out, who was the son of Flatter. And I got to tie him a few times, and they just won the Suburban of course, at Belmont Park last week. So
yeah, what a great race that is. What history.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you know, they downgraded it from, it's now no longer a grade one. A Suburban is not a grade one.
That's awful.
That's sacrilegious.
It is.
You know, I mean, it's a grade two now, but I don't know why. But anyway, that's a real nice colt. He's had some problems, but they straightened him out. Frank is a former jockey. I think he's from Texas, but we'll excuse that and put him on anyway. So we'll talk about that. Of course, Mr. Preston, they formerly owned Prestonwood Farm this is Al Preston, his brothers Jack and J.R. I think J.R. has passed away. And, of course, then back in the year 2000, I think it was, they sold it to Bill Carson and Kenny Trout, and it's now Windstar Farm. Remember, we used to haul mares over there, Jackie. Do you remember that?
Sure do.
Rare Performer.
Yes.
He had... fellow that we used to board some mares for had a share in him. There was another stallion over there we used to go
to. Yeah, we were there a lot. Nice place.
I believe that they had Chris S. there for a while. Of course, he was out of our price range, but, you know.
Our client's price range.
They got past 1500 and we started looking elsewhere.
Well.
Yeah, right. Michael Blowen, I guess, is going to show up here pretty soon. And, of course, he's some old friends. Dr. Dwayne Markham is here. Dr. Byers on vacation in Barbados. Barbados? How would you pronounce that, Dwayne? Don't know either?
I've never been there, but I would say Barbados.
That's what I would.
I would say.
The Brits say Barbados.
Well, to hell with it.
Which is interesting.
What do we say in Kentucky? Let's lay a little hard boot on it. Barbados.
Yeah, going down there, how nice.
Anyway, so Dwayne is going to fill in with him. And, of course, he's connected with the Equine Health and Welfare Alliance, and I'm sure he's got something to say about that. No stakes races down at Ellis, but we'll see if we can't wake Moody up this morning, give us the winner of the feature down there at Ellis Park today. And let's see. Winners out of here. Since the last week's show, we have had 10 winners from the Thoroughbred Center. We've got 16 already this month, including 3 stakes winners. How about that?
How about that? 3 stakes winners.
Already this month. Yeah, Roxalina Stakes down at Churchill. Fortune Play won that earlier, and John Booker trained that one. And then at Indiana Downs, the Indiana First Lady Stakes went to Princess Gone Wild, named after one of my old girlfriends.
And they're all 80 now.
You had to remind me.
Out of your home.
Oh, well. My memory is not that dim yet, though. Anyway, Wayne Mogie trained that one, Princess Gone Wild. And then the $100,000 Golden Bear Stakes, also at Indiana Downs, went to Jardim, trained by Eduardo Caramori. That horse set a new track record down there. That's a nice horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a Brazilian bred, of course. So is Eduardo, as far as that goes.
Right.
Yeah, but, and he trains that. He does a real great job. So far this month, in 8 days, we've had 16 winners.
Great. Oh, and don't forget, Adam.
Oh, yeah. My little buddy.
Adam Bowman from
Adam
the,
Bowman.
From the North American Racing Academy.
Rode his first winner on Thursday.
Well,
congratulations.
Isn't that
something?
Great.
Yeah, he's the nicest kid.
Yeah, ever.
And he, and he,
big,
he weighs, I asked him one day, said, what do you weigh, Adam? He says, 90 pounds stripped. I said, come on, Adam, you can't ride him stripped. And he says, 93.
Where's he from?
He's from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah, he's Pennsylvania. Nice, really nice kid, really hard worker. And
I think the whole town, I think it's a small town because he's on Facebook. And I saw some little remarks under there in whatever town it is. He said, we're all behind you. So that was cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody rooting for him.
Yeah.
That was just his fifth ride, by the way. I'm pretty sure
that was
right.
That a first-time starter maiden?
It was a maiden first-time starter. And that's to put a bug rider on a first-time starter. The steward's watching pretty close down there. And they must have liked what they seen because they went on an okay to where he could ride it. And the thing was all over the track.
Yeah, but it was in front, so it didn't matter.
But he led all the way with it, and I'm tickled to death for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, well, Dwayne, we've got a few minutes before I have to take a break here, and I think you've got let me get you closer to that so you won't have to scream.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You got an event coming up with the Equine Health and Welfare Alliance and to raise a little money, and tell me about that.
Well, we always like all the charities like to raise a little bit of money every now and again, but it's more about an awareness. We've got our first event. It's an inaugural event for us. It's called A Night of the Pavilion. It's over at Fasig Tipton Sunday evening from 6 to 9. We've got the Irish tenor, Anthony Kearns, that's going to perform for us. We've got about a 1 hour performance scheduled for him. The governor and the first lady's going to be there. I think we're going to have a really good group. It's going to be quiet, and hopefully the weather's going to be good. We've got a little bourbon tasting. So if you love horses and world class vocals and a little bit of bourbon and a good evening, then that's you might ought to look into joining us
with an Irish with an Irish tenor and booze. You might fill it up full of Irishmen around here.
that puts a direct connection to us here in Central Kentucky. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think half of Ireland's over here already.
That's could well be, yeah.
Well, that sounds like, when's that start, man?
It starts at 6 o'clock.
Tomorrow night.
It's cocktail attire. Exactly, tomorrow night, short notice. And we actually it only became available for us to put this on about 20 or 30 days ago. So we literally have put 20 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag, and it looks like it's going to work. So we're proud to present Mr. Kearns and the governor and the first lady, and look forward to the evening.
I love those Irish tenors.
Oh, they're great.
We've got all kinds of records.
Ronan Tynan and the three tenors, the three Irish tenors. They're wonderful.
And, they're really
fun. They sing and make you cry. I mean, they're so good.
Yeah, some of the stuff they do, you listen to Danny Boy and everybody in Central Kentucky's crying.
It's one of the ones he keys off of. And, of course, the acoustics in that pavilion, just like Keeneland, they're just tremendous acoustics.
Now, is it going to be in the pavilion itself?
It will be in the sales pavilion, right. Yeah. The reception is going to be in front of the pavilion, that covered portico that most people know about. And then we'll move into the pavilion for the performance, so you can imagine how quiet. And with a small number of people, it'll be a grand performance, I'm sure.
Boy, they've sure changed that building over there, haven't they?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, those fancy offices in there. Gee whiz, I remember when it was, they were in a tent out on Old Frankfort Pike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've come a long way from the tent, haven't they, Dwayne?
That they sure have, yeah. We're glad to see both of them doing well.
Yeah, me too.
Now, how would somebody get a ticket?
Couple ways you could call. Well, the website is www.equinehealthandwelfare.org. That's .org, not .com, .org. You can go to that website. Tickets are available there. Or if you can remember a number, 859-227-0879, and we can direct you from there. But the easiest place is to go to that website, www.equinehealthandwelfare.org.
Equine Health and Welfare. Okay.
All right, let me take a little break here. Dwayne, I'm going to get back to you. Geez, I remember when you were practicing out here. Have you kind of backed out of practice and you're doing a little bit?
We do a little bit here and there, yeah.
You don't out here much anymore.
No, it's over in Versailles. Do a little consulting here and there, and it just was time to change, and we went into a little different. We opened up the little drugstore, and then we opened up the little biotech company. So it's still working. I'm probably working mm-hmm. harder since I left the racetrack than I was on the racetrack. I'd probably like to come back just to get back to a regular 7-8-day-a-week job.
Is that Well, I'm going to ask you about that right after the break here. Well, July 2 at Belmont Park, the historic Grade 2 Suburban Henry. Whoops, I just did that one. No, I didn't. Or did I? No. Try it again. July 2 at Belmont Park, the historic Grade 2 Suburban Handicap was won by Flat Out, a 5-year-old horse by Flatter, bred by Nicholas Bach and trained by Charles Dickey and owned by Preston Stables. Flat Out had the lead after a mile and 1:34.3, finished out the 9 furlongs in a near record time, 1:46.3, and he won at the direct expense of him, son of Arch, who went into the Suburban off a stakes win at Belmont Park. Now, Flat Out is one of 8 2011 stakes winners by Flatter, a list which includes Tar Heel Miss, winner of 3 stakes this year, including the grade 3 stakes at Gulfstream and a grade 2 stakes winner earlier in her career, and a Part, winner of the grade 3 stakes at Delaware Park this year, winner of 2 graded stakes last year and placed in the 2011 running of the grade 1 Stephen Foster at Churchill Downs. Flatter, a son of champion AP Indy, signed runners. Watch for his 2011 sales yearling, including hip numbers 46, 180, and 292, and next week's Fasig Tipton July sale of selected yearlings. For more information about the Claiborne Farm Stallions, contact Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, there are 2 yearlings by Bob and John in next week's Fasig Tipton July Select Sale. Hip number 68, consigned by Hiddenbrook, agent 2, is a colt out of the dam of Diva Ash, winner as a 3-year-old this year of the Edgewood Stakes at Churchill Downs. Hip number 121 is a colt consigned by TaylorMade Sales Agency. It's out of a young producing daughter of AP Indy and grade 2 stakes winner in grade 1 placed, Powder Bowl. 2 nice colts out of proven producers by grade 1 stakes winner and near millionaire. He won just over $996,000. Bob and John, a son of Seeking the Gold. There's also a colt in the sale by proven grade 1 sire Broken Vow. He's hip number 238 consigned by the TaylorMade Sales Agency for White Fox Farm. Broken Vow is represented this year by Sassy Image, winner earlier of the grade 1 Humana Distaff at Churchill and more recently of the grade 3 winning Color Stakes also at Churchill. Sassy Image is one of 4 grade 1 stakes winners by Broken Vow. And you can wager that there are more on the way. Both Bob and John and Broken Vow stand at Pin Oak Stud. For more information, get in touch with Clifford Berry, 873-1420, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty. Well, Michael Bowen has joined us now, and I'm going to talk to Dwayne here. He's busy, and I know you're not.
That's right. He's more important than I am, and he's got a great event coming up tomorrow night.
I don't know at all.
These guys have done a great job. I mean, you know, when you have Dr. Byers and Dr. Markham and Dr. Divers and Dr. Cave and all these great vets.
High-powered veterinarians like that doing all this. You know,
and it's really great for these horses that they've turned their attention to these animals. I think this is a great thing, and I hope everybody comes tomorrow night and has a really good time.
Well, I'm sure they will. I know they're going to hear some good music. And, of course, I first met Dwayne right out here, you know, and that's probably a little bit further back, neither one of us like to talk
just,
about.
I'm just glad to see sunshine every day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a positive when I wake up. What were you doing now? You got a business down there in Brazil.
Have you ever been to his drugstore?
Is that right on
yes.
the corner? Right from the corner from the. I've been in there. I didn't know you owned that.
He had it transplanted from Mayberry.
Exactly. And we I don't go in there too much myself. They make me work every time I go in there. So we're part of that program that's the Cornerstone Drugstore. Yeah, it's a kind of a throwback. It's the old soda fountain with hard ice cream and deli sandwiches. Nothing's fried in there. It's mostly homemade sandwiches and deli type stuff. So
I've eaten sandwiches in there. Yeah. I've been in there before. I didn't, you ought to be in there with one of these white aprons and,
That's what everybody else tells them.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
How long have you owned that? That thing's been there forever.
Oh, it has. We actually bought it in 2000 and then reopened the drugstore just shortly after that, rebuilt the inside, put wood floors down, dropped ceiling and ceiling fans, and it's kind of a nostalgic throwback. It's all locally owned and operated there.
Yeah.
It was really a neat place. It was owned by the Granducci family, which most of that block was originally. So we think we're either the second or possibly the first owner since it was land grant. Not with Granducci's being first, that put us second, possibly third owners of that since it was land granted. So it's got a lot of history behind it.
Well, I imagine so. I can, I remember. Did it close at one time and then
Well, it burned in the 60s. And
well,
then
that'll close it.
Yeah, they sure did. And then
that's why they decided not to fry anything anymore.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Yeah. What's the best sandwich in there?
Oh, Dixie, the gal that helps with the sandwiches, I wouldn't even care to pick one. They're all great. They've got anything from pimento cheese to turkey. Sometimes they've got olive nut, and it changes. They've got soup beans and little cornbread and homemade soup.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, it's. I didn't know we were going to get to do a pitch for Cornerstone, but thanks for the opportunity.
Cornerstone?
Cornerstone Pharmacy, right. It's a great little spot to meet and greet and eat.
Right across the street from the courthouse.
Exactly.
You get a lot of politicians and jailbirds in there.
Well, there's a little business that gets discussed there.
Or one and
there.
The same,
yeah,
usually.
For sure,
you know?
That's for sure. Yeah. No, it's a great place. It's a crowd in there between 11 and 1.
But, yeah. And then you've got something else that you're doing, you said?
Well, we had opened, actually, the compounding lab upstairs and have done veterinary and human formulations for products that are no longer available and custom formulations and so forth. And that spun to the Arthrodynamics, where we made a couple of horse formulations and got a human side to that. So, and that's been going great. So we've been busy and all going well.
So you don't go on the racetrack anymore?
Well, again, to see my friends and come over to see you guys. Yeah.
Oh, he hadn't been over. He told me just that. He said he come to see his friends and he hadn't been over here. So what does that take?
Yeah. My bad.
He's being diplomatic.
He's being diplomatic.
He's very, very busy.
Yeah, that's what it tells me.
He's been really, seriously, he's been putting so much time with Equine Health and Welfare Alliance. It's unbelievable.
What about this? What's going to happen with the drug thing with the horse? What do you think is...
Oh, I think that's probably going to be one of the hotter debates coming around, and it really needs to be discussed openly. And it's certainly we'd love to go with no medications. I don't know that that's the fair thing to do. It's always been compared that U.S. or North American racing to European racing, and you just they're not apples and apples. You just can't compare the two. I think we're probably going to be looking for normalization. I think that Lasix is probably the top issue there, whether to use Lasix or not on race day, and that we just need the science to back that up. If that's truly what ends up being what we don't need to do, then science should tell us. If we do need to do it, then I've always seen Lasix as performance normalizing. That's my personal opinion. I don't think it's performance enhancing. I hope we get the money, and it'll take commitment. It'll take a lot of money and commitment to get it proven whether it does or doesn't enhance performance.
I would think they could reach a happy medium with that. You see a field of two-year-olds, and running all of them on Lasix, and that's not right. What if you have a horse that's actually a bleeder, and you scope him right after a race, a vet scopes him and says, this horse needs help.
Right.
Or he can't compete.
Right.
Well, then I would think, okay, he's been okayed by the vets and so forth, and let him run on Lasix.
Right. Well, you remember, we used to do that. You had to be scoped and cleared.
Yeah, but it got so now that everybody uses it.
Agreed. And I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer, but I think the public would, I think that's part of the outcry. The public wants to see a no race day medication, but I've often likened it to a child with asthma that's got an inhaler. Should he not be allowed to play baseball or football because he's got asthma? And it's, you know, these horses undergo a tremendous amount of stress.
I'm going to make a statement here. Probably some people are going to jump down my throat. I don't think the public gives a damn whether they're running on Lasix or not. I really don't. The public, no.
I think handicappers do.
Handicappers, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Handicappers,
and on the other hand, if all of them are on Lasix, nobody's got an advantage. They're all on
Lasix.
There's
a really good book. There's a really, really good book on Lasix that was written by Eclipse Award-winning writer Bill Heller, and he wrote a book on Lasix, and you should read it. It's really amazing. He found available research, and it's a really, really good book. You can get it on Amazon, but it's a really good book.
You mentioned that they talk about European standards, but I was told that they don't test the way we do. They don't test to the billionth and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
it's just not as strict.
Here's one of the problems with testing, though.
Very different testing.
Again, as a handicapper, one of the problems with the testing is that the testing changes from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. When we had horses at Suffolk Downs, they tested for 95 substances, and each test cost like $80. When we went up to Rockingham Park, they tested for 7 substances, and the test cost $8.
Right.
Okay? So all of a sudden, you had 80-something drugs that were now legal because of the varied testing. So people think, well, you're doing tests. Well, at certain tracks you do certain tests, and certain tracks you don't. And there are trainers that I know keep lists.
Sure.
Of course they do, of what drugs are available in which jurisdictions, which are considered legal, which are not tested for in certain jurisdictions. And they know as they go from jurisdiction to jurisdiction that they can use certain drugs. So, you know, the idea that they have this kind of, you know, vigilante testing deal where they can move from place to place. If they decide a horse can't run on this here, they in Kentucky, for example, and they move him someplace else and he can, I mean, It's a difficult thing, and that's when it does become difficult for handicappers.
Well, I think that even plays. There's several organizations and groups and committees that have been formed, and the goal is for uniform medications, and that certainly makes it much easier for us as veterinarians, and just the whole system gets easier because it's easy to go from one jurisdiction to another and feel like you're going to be safe. And the levels that are acceptable and what is called therapeutic versus performance enhancing, that's one of the debates that I think needs to be tabled, and it needs to be based on science and research.
I think that most of the trainers' complaint would be when you take them off of what you're treating them with, because sometimes it different individual horses, it will a certain thing
clearance
will
times are different,
will linger on, you know, mm-hmm, and you come mm-hmm. up positive,
right,
you know, and that's a difficult thing for a trainer to figure out, you know. I mean, it's something they have to contend with. But I would just think, but you know, if Salix is the big thing that everybody's fussing about. I just think it would be just a common sense solution to just, if a horse actually bleeds and they test him after a race and there it is, well, let him run on it, you know. Either that, or we're going to have some short fields around here, let me tell you
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you handicappers wouldn't like that very much, Michael, you know.
No, we like full fields, but, you know, we could talk about that too. You know, you got tracks running, you know, $2,500 and $3,500 claiming races on a Tuesday afternoon. You know, Wednesday afternoon is tough to bet on, but if you got some really nice stakes races and you got some stars with some full fields on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that's pretty good.
So, in other words, cut down the racing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's starting to happen naturally.
Look,
I'm sad about it in a lot of ways because it's hit New England like a ton of bricks. I mean, New England had, you know, at one time at least 8 major racetracks, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, up in New Hampshire, and Maine, and now they have 1, and it's fallen apart.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one of the problems is, of course, is you know, you do keep a lot of these, some of these horses racing a lot longer than they should have, and that's why we have old friends.
Well, the thing is,
glad we've got old friends.
Yeah.
The claimers, though, are the backbone. I'm sorry. Otherwise, it becomes, I'm afraid, like steeplechase, you know, that you can bet on. The claiming business, really? I mean, you're going
to
lose.
Well, I'm not opposed to the claiming business. I'm just opposed to, you know, I'm opposed to horses running on, you know, again on a Wednesday afternoon that are $2,500 to have an owner, and they're riding races for non-winners of two lifetime, and a horse at 40 starts. You know, that's what I think is difficult to wager on.
Right, as far as wagering goes, but it does.
Well, and people don't.
Yeah, and they don't. That's right. And that's why they don't have fair racing in Massachusetts anymore. That's why Rockingham Park closed. That's why a lot of these, that's why there's not a racetrack in Rhode Island anymore. Narragansett Park gone. They're all gone. I mean, that's one of the reasons. And I don't think it's, I feel bad about a lot of the tracks closing, but I don't feel bad about the kind of natural winning out process of racetracks that aren't successful.
Meanwhile, let me pay a bill.
I mean, look at Keeneland and Saratoga and all these other places that are really great racetracks, and people can't wait to get in. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how to do this. It's not that hard.
What it will eventually do is wean out breeders. They will breed less and less and less.
Well, they're not going to wean them out. They're just going to, well, breeding them less is fine with me. They breed too many of them now anyway.
Well,
you know, if you look
you
at the stallion register and you got horses standing for $500.
Where?
Huh? In New Mexico?
Okay.
In Massachusetts?
Damn, that's too far to shoot.
But it's almost like you want to get rid of minor league baseball because the good stuff is the majors. Or it's almost like you don't want to watch the NBA till it's the finals because they walk up.
Well, that's true, and that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's happening. I mean, it's not that I'm advocating this. I'm just trying to explain what I think is going on.
Right.
You know,
but
look, if people want to see the stars, I mean, the reason that Old Friends works to the degree that it works is because they're not coming there to see the $3,500 claimers that we do have at the farm. They're coming to see, you know, Afternoon Delights, and they're coming to see Gulch and Owad and Kiri's Clown and Commentator and Hidden Lake and the Eclipse Award-winning horses, and then they help support the other ones, and that's kind of the way it works. With Suffolk Downs, you can't get 3,000 people in there, but on the Mass Cap Day, there's 40,000 because they have a star, and that's what makes it work.
Let me interrupt.
I thought they did.
Speaking of stars, here's our host, Ursula.
I thought
the reason this program works is because we have a star.
And I can shut up my guests every now and then.
He can't take over.
Yeah, right. Well, the Phase of Tipton July sale of selected yearlings begins next Tuesday. So take a good look at hip numbers 109 and 169. Both are from the first crop by First Defense, a young grade one stakes winner with a superb pedigree. He's by the top sire in Bridal Song. He's out of the grade one stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, to grade one stakes winners in grade one sires Empire Maker and Chester House. Out of the grade one stakes winner in Broodmare of the Year, to Sod, a daughter of El Gran Señor. A multiple graded stakes winner, First Defense, sprinted 7 furlongs and won 21-2 to win the grade one 4-go at Saratoga. About the same distance in 120 at 4-4 at Churchill, 122-1 at Belmont. So he had brilliant speed. There are also 3 yearlings in the sale by Mizzen Mass. Hip numbers 42, 208, 252. Mizzen Mass, of course, is a proven sire of grade one stakes winners. He won grade one stakes himself, and he's the son of leading sire Cozine. For more information, contact Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Courageous Cat winner July 2, the grade one Shoemaker Mile, was raised by Diamond A Farm for breeders Pam and Martin Wygod. The grade two Matron Stakes went to Million Reasons Why, a two-year-old filly bred by Tom Evans, 10-lane farm and Aratus Thoroughbreds. The 1-3 finishers in the grade three Dominion Day Stakes at Woodbine, Don Covello, and last year's winner of the Bluegrass Stakes, Stately Victor, were both bred by Adina Springs. At Arlington, the winner of the grade three Chicago Handicap, Devil by Design, was bred by John Gunther and Fred Sahati. Over Viad, winner of the Supernatural Stakes in Canada, was bred by Brad and C. Jones. And King of the Bluegrass, winner of the $75,000 Independence Day Handicap in Mountaineer, was raised at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, for Everest Stables. Congratulations from McCauley Brothers, the only feed mill in Kentucky providing products exclusively for the horse. McCauley Brothers is proud to be associated with many of the world's finest horsemen. They'd be delighted to add your name to their ever-growing list of successful clients. Just call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. And talking about Crestwood Farm, Unbridled Energy, who stands over Crestwood Farm, is the sire of two stakes winners, plus another which is placed in stakes in his first crop. There are 3-year-olds. Most recent winner is Santa Barbara Bendita, who pulled away to a 4.5-length score over older fillies to break her maiden at Hollywood Park on June 30. He's signed winners at major tracks from coast to coast. Hollywood Park, Churchill Downs, Woodbine, the Fairgrounds, Laurel, Golden Gate, Hawthorne, Calder, Turfway, Tampa Bay, Indiana Benet Downs. Versatile runners that win over any type of racing service. Unbridled Energy is a multiple graded stakes winner by the top sire Unbridled Song, and if you haven't seen him, do so. You're going to like what you see. Watch for the Unbridled Energy yearlings at the sales this year and look for them in the winner's circle, too. You will have plenty of opportunities to do both. Unbridled Energy stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Give Pope a call at 252-3770 and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Well, we've been talking, Dwayne Markham and Michael Blowin over here, and I and Jackie, and we haven't settled a damn thing, but at least we can talk about it.
Having some fun.
Well, everybody's got an opinion, just like noses, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaned that one up, didn't I?
Yes, sir. Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. Well, tomorrow night, everybody's going to have a ball over at the Basic Tipton with this event. I know that.
Yeah. Well, what's going on over at your place?
Oh, well, I had to get some horses in while Dr. Byers was on vacation so he doesn't have another heart attack.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Doug.
Poor Mr. Charles Knuckles. Knucks, he's such a nice guy. He,
his daddy before him.
Yes, yes. Well, we had a stallion who was stuck up in New Jersey. Actually, a guy apparently waved down the slaughter truck to get him. And he was a 26-year-old stallion, and we don't have any room for him now, but Nux decided he would take him on for a while.
Oh, that's nice.
Spot.
Yeah.
But he's a neat horse, and
Well, who is he?
He played I'm going to give the answer next week. It's going to be part of the continuing. This is going to be like
you mean
one of those little series.
You mean you're coming back next week?
It's the only way to let me come back if I have the answer to the question.
All right.
He was a very nice racehorse and a decent stallion, but he played the black stallion in the movie Wolf with Jack Nicholson, and I think Jack's going to help us support this horse.
Great. Congratulations.
So he's a movie star, too.
I didn't see that movie.
It's well, you wouldn't like it.
Does this surprise you?
No, it's in color and sound.
Oh, geez, well, the hell is it?
You know, it's a modern movie. It's actually a very interesting movie about Jack Nicholson as a werewolf, and it's kind of a perfect...
Oh, for God's sake.
It's a perfect
dear Jackie, oh, Jackie said, oh, for God's sake. Well, there got to be one better than that one movie that he was in.
What about Schmidt?
About
fabulous
that
movie.
That was an awful movie. Did you see that, Dwayne?
No, I don't believe I did either.
Nobody did.
Don't. Yeah,
I went. Ursula and I went.
Nobody did. That's it.
I went and rented the damn thing because he talked about it. And that was the most depressing movie I've ever seen in my life. You know, I finally turned it off about halfway through, and I said, gee.
Oh, it has a very happy ending. He sings zippity-doo-dah and goes down the road. It's really nice.
With a little bluebird flying around him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Very happy ending.
All right.
Oh, well, God. There you go. We're not exactly Siskel and Ebert.
No. Good crew.
No.
Not at all. Let's see. What else is going on? Well, it's a beautiful day. I hope people come out and visit today. It's we get tours at 10, 1, and 3, and even evening tours now at 7.
Expanding.
Yeah.
So, you probably got Diane doing
and if
that.
I'm cooking a hot dog, you can come by and get one.
You serve dinner.
Yeah, exactly. You can come by and do that. Oh, here's some good news. In August, Angie Dickinson's coming.
Oh, yeah, that is great news. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Angie's going to come.
I do remember that.
Yeah. She's fabulous. She's going to come. She's also going to make an appearance before the International Convention of Police Women You know, she had that great show, Police Woman, on TV. And a lot of these international police women became police women because of her TV show, and they're all excited.
Police Women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she, so they're going to have a little, a nice lunch in downtown in Lexington, and then in the afternoon she'll be at the farm, and people can come visit her.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I'll have to come over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's younger than you.
Not by much.
Not by much. She's funny. I called her up in a couple of days after her latest birthday, and I said, I'm sorry, I forgot your birthday. And she says, thank you. So, but anyway, that's really nice. And Angie's always been a big supporter of ours. She and Bert Bachrach, her ex-husband, donated $50,000 to Old Friends.
Oh, that's great. Well, of course, they've got Afternoon Delights over there that he bred.
That's right.
Yeah. There was another
West Virginia bred.
Well, he can't help that. He can still run.
I know that. I love to say that, though, because he blanches over. You know, these hard boots are tough when it comes to horses that are actually bred out of state.
Well, didn't Black Tie Fair stand in West Virginia?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you see a bunch.
Oh, that reminds me. We're getting another horse.
Okay. It's a Black Tie Fair?
No, Black Tie Fair died. But
well, I mean another, something he sired?
No, but it's a Breeders' Cup winner.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Now, you're not going to tell me the name of this one either?
No, I will. I'll tell you this one. We'll wait till next week to tell you the surprise one. No, it's prized.
Oh, you're getting prized, mm-hmm. huh? Yeah, plus he's a Chris S., isn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned Chris S. earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Reminded me that that was true.
Yeah, where did he stand around here?
Well, I don't know where he stood here, but I know that he's at the O'Sullivan Farm in West Virginia, and that's where we're getting him from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How old is he now?
I want to say 24.
He sired a runner or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have something by prize out there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe I do. I'll have to ask my friend Ursel Ellis. He'll look it up in his encyclopedia.
Who's the hell is he?
He's our crack research department. Historical division of Old Friends.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
You're right.
But I'm very excited about that. Mr. O'Sullivan called up a few days ago and asked us if we
Well, you found room for him now.
Well, not yet.
He's coming over, nuts.
Not yet.
Watch out,
it's
nuts.
Funny, though. It's funny, though. We used to get calls all the time after, you know, you'd read who won the stakes races over the weekend, and they'd find out one of the sires was retired at the farm. And I always get one or two phone calls saying, hey, is that horse still available for a little breeding session?
Well, I imagine you'd still get calls about Gulch.
Gulch, get calls about O'Gijon. We even got a couple about Creator. We used to get a lot about Jade Hunter.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah. After Global Hunter won the Eddie Reed last year, we got like three on Monday.
Mm-mm.
You know, so.
Well, you can't do that, though, can you? You can't breed a master.
No.
No. Well.
And, yeah, of course we get a lot of for Gulch, you know, but he's a cool horse.
Well, he sure looked good when I went to see him.
He looks great. He takes care of good
You've
care
been
of
over
himself.
There lately, Dwayne?
No, sir. No, yeah. sir. Sure is.
These horses really look good.
Yeah.
I had to hand it
Well, that's because we had
old friends.
Dr. Byers.
Been there.
It's all Gulch was all dappled out. Mm-hmm. Who was that old horse that you thought you were going to have to put down? And, boy, did he look good.
Yeah.
I mean, he...
A clever Alamont.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the horse he won.
He gained over 300 pounds.
He won $400,000 or $500,000 himself, didn't he?
Yeah, he won the. Well, he was real. He won his first six starts, and he won the Southwest Stakes. He won the Rebel Stakes, and Lynn Whiting had him for Cal Partee, and they sold him to Eugene Klein and Lucas. And then he never won another race. But he was like 7-2 in the winner book for the Derby.
Yeah,
and then he disappeared. And when he got here, he was in terrible shape. And Dr. Byers looked at him. And another vet looked at him, and the other vet said, put him down. And I thought we should put him down because he looked so terrible. And he was all skin and bone. And Dr. Byers said, well, you know, let's give him a little time. I don't think there's anything structurally wrong with him. I think his muscles have all atrophied and this, that, and the other thing. So we kind of rolled our eyes and said, okay. And, you know, now he's gained about 350 pounds, and he greets people. He's deaf. He only has one eye that works, but he's got the greatest disposition. You can lead him around with a piece of dental floss. I mean, he's just amazing.
Piece of dental floss.
Mm-hmm. You don't even need the dental floss half the time. He just follows you into the barn.
Now, that shows a difference in how people think.
Oh, yeah.
He says lead him around with a piece of dental floss, and Joe Palmer wrote, you could lead him around with a silk thread.
See, there you go. Well, there you go. That's very appropriate. That's very appropriate. That's
all right.
Exactly right. You know, that's very appropriate.
Now I'm going to let you guys get out of here then.
Well, it's great to see you, Russell. You should come tomorrow night.
I can't. We can't get out at night. Now you know that.
Yeah, well, it starts at 6 o'clock. Come from 6 to 7, have something to eat, and meet some people.
Well.
And then you can hear a little Irish tenor live and bring Betsy. Who cares?
Oh, yeah, you don't.
There you go.
Huh?
She'd sing.
She could. If Baron Jones comes, she could tell him he's the key to raising profit again. I think that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Well, she's been listening to me do those commercials for how many years now?
I know.
Bless Barry's heart, you know. I mean, he's been a sponsor of these shows for, let's see, I would say right about 40 years.
Yeah. Oh, that's where Afternoon Delight stood, of course. At Airdrie.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And there he's in a neighboring paddock now with Patton, and they were both at Airdrie, and Brereton and Libby Jones helped us an awful lot.
Did he ever tell you that story about Pat people coming in, and he told them he had Patton on the farm and there working for him?
Yeah.
And, of course, they thought he was talking about the governor, you know.
Yeah. It's just we got to go.
Get him to tell you that one. Maybe I better let him tell you that one, but that's pretty good.
He should come over here sometime.
Yeah. Get him to tell you sometime about how he got his start in racing.
I will.
His first runner was at Beulah Park. And it's a great story. Yeah.
He's a great guy. He really
you
helps
guys,
us
You guys should have. This has been kind of fun. I've been sitting just watching you guys bat back and forth. Y'all take this show on the road, you know. What about you and Michael
going
down
to
that little Airstream trailer? They're talking about nostalgic conversations. What was that was in town for a little bit where you go and record history and it basically just...
I forget who was doing that, but it was an interesting thing. In fact, I meant to call you about it, Ursula, because you have some great stories.
Yeah, you guys need to get some of this.
They don't care about the truth.
It's on the internet.
Well,
Jackie puts it up.
It's in the Keeneland.
They'll give you all kinds of disclaimers. I mean, that's all you need to worry about. Yeah.
All these shows are in the Keeneland Library, being archived. So
that's why they're digging a bigger basement.
Exactly.
So if you notice, there's some shovels in the hallways over there.
Yeah, I thought they're burying them, probably. All right, guys. Thank you
very much.
Dwayne,
don't forget
this tomorrow night. You want to plug it one more time?
And it's just tomorrow night, Fasig Tipton. It's a pavilion called A Night at the Pavilion. The Irish tenor Anthony Kern's going to sing a little bit. And, again, as I said, if you love horses and love good Irish tenor world-class vocals and maybe taste a little bit of bourbon. There'll be other beverages there, certainly, also, and hors d'oeuvres. So get jump online at www.equinehealthandwelfare.org and take a look, and hope to see you there. Thanks for the invitation.
Good luck with it, my friend.
All we need.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah. Oh, I enjoyed listening to you guys. I appreciate the time.
Well,
thank you all.
I hope somebody else did. I hope my other listener did. All right. Well,
thanks so much.
All right, Michael. Thanks. There are two yearlings by Jazzle in the Fasig Tipton July sale. Hip number 94 is a filly out of a mare which has already produced a stakes win of over $1,268,000, plus another runner that's placed in grade two stakes. Hip 199 is a half-brother to Recognition. He won stakes at Turfway and has earned more than $184,000. And look them over. They're sired by a classic winner with one of the best pedigrees in the world today. Jazzle won the grade one Belmont Stakes. So did his half-sister, Eclipse Award winner Rags to Riches. Dazzle's second dam won the Kentucky Oaks, produced three graded stakes winners and grand dam of two champions. The third dam is stakes winner and foundation mare best in show. Dazzle's first and third dams, both brood mares of the year. Great family. Dazzle, the son of Seeking the Goal, has sired a two-year-old winner from two starters in his first crop. And when the distance is stretch out, watch for the stamina that carried Dazzle to victory in a classic. Dazzle stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stag manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my good friend, Ralph Quillen, down at Quillen Tack. And he's always has special promotions going there. The best thing about Quillen Tack is the quality of their products. I mean, the helmets, the halters and stuff that they make in there are absolutely superb. And they're priced right, and he sells more halters than anybody else around here, probably combined, and he sells them all over the world. And he's this tack shop down in Bourbon County in Paris. It's also a great gift shop. And you go in there, it's fun to go in there. People are real nice and, you know, they leave you alone. You can walk around and look at things. And as a matter of fact, I think there are tourists starting in there now that stop in because of the quality of the products and the, they've got some really nice, cats in there too that I've watched grow up. They're fun. So I know the kids go in there and love it. But, the best thing to do is go on and check on their website, Ralph's website. It's Quillin.com, Quillin.com. Or if you want to see for yourself, if you're coming in from the Lexington area, you just pull into, you go to the third stoplight, and there is Ralph Quillin's right there on the Quillin tack right on the left. Plenty of parking around and back there, and you can't miss it. And they've got everything that you need in there and more, believe me. So, go in there and say hello to Ralph and the girls that work there. And I think Ralph was on vacation last time I heard. But he's talking about opening up a pub down in Paris, too. I'm waiting for that to happen. So, Ralph, if you're listening, when are you going to open that thing up? Well, an Irish pub, that's what we need, another one of those. So, once again, it's Quillin Leather and Tack, and it's Quillin.com. Well, Distorted Legacy, winner last week of the Sky Beauty Stakes at Belmont Park, is the 103rd Stakes winner by Distorted Humor. She is also Distorted Humor's 13th 2011 Stakes winner. A top 10 sire again in 2011, Distorted Humor is ranked among the top 10 leading North American sires 5 times. He ranked 2nd last year, and he's been the leading sire stakes winners 3 times. Distorted Humor, an elite sire by any measure. Sharp Humor, greatest stakes winner by Distorted Humor, is well on his way to sire success. His first foals race last year at 2. He's a sire 13 stakes horses in his first crop to rank. Number 1 in that category, and he is also the number 1 ranked Kentucky-based sire of 2-year-old winners. He had 24. Now, Sharp Humor, in addition to winning 2 stakes as a 2-year-old in New York, sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22 to win the Grade 2 Swale Stakes, and he gave Barbaro his severest test, nodding at the wrong time, just missed in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. There are 3 yearlings by Sharp Humor in Tuesday's Phasey Tipton Sale. Their hip numbers are 38, 97, and 181. Sharp Humor and his brilliant sire, Distorted Humor, stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Hey, let's see. Can you wait 10 minutes?
Oh, I can wait longer than that.
Okay, Jackie, you want to do? You want to do?
They were hooking me up with the Brain Injury Association of Kentucky.
For me?
Yeah. Got it. Right. Okay. All right, Smarty Pants. If you want to start out?
All right. This is the product of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. My good friend David Schweitzer over at KTA. And these are the Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last weekend. I say weekend because the 4th, of course, was on a Monday. The Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile went to Courageous Cat. It was bred by Pam and Martin Wygod. The Grade 1 Triple Bend Invitational at Hollywood Park went to Smiling Tiger, bred by Dr. Rodman Orr. The Grade 2 Firecracker Handicap, this one at Churchill. Wise Dan won that. Morton Fink, the breeder. The Grade 2 Matron Stakes at Belmont Park, Million Reasons Why, by Grand Slam. That's Grand Slam's 65th stakes winner. 9 of them this year. He's doing real good. This one bred by Tom Evans, 10 Lane Farm, and Aratus Thoroughbreds. The Grade 3 Salvatore Mile at Monmouth went to Kinsai, bred by Gulf Coast Farms. The Grade 3 Bashford Manor at Churchill, X Factor, Bo Hirsch bred that one. The Grade 3 Chicago Handicap at Arlington, Devil by Design, bred by John Gunther and Fred Sahadi. The Robert F. Klein, Robert F. Curlin Memorial at Hollywood Park was bred by Tony Holmes and Highclere. The Roxalana Stakes at Churchill Downs, Fortune Play, bred by Dixiana Farm, trained by John Booker right here at the Thoroughbred Center. The Independence Day Stakes at Mountaineer went to King of the Bluegrass for Everest Stables. The Sky Beauty Stakes at Belmont, Distorted Legacy, the 13th Stakes winner of the year by Distorted Humor. This one bred by Bruce Lunsford. the recording stakes at Belmont Hungry Island. The 14th stakes winner of the year for More Than Ready, who stands over at Vinery. Emery Hamilton, the breeder, and the Dominion Day Stakes at Woodbine. Don Cavallo, bred in Kentucky by Adina Springs. That's
a mouthful.
A mouthful.
Okay. Now, Horse Park. What's going on at the Horse Park this weekend? Is today the 9th?
Yes. I hope so.
Okay, the Bluegrass.
If not, we're not on the air.
Well, that would be a blessing, wouldn't it?
Some people would think so.
I'm telling you, it's the last day of the Bluegrass Morgan Classic, and they're such nice horses. And through tomorrow, Robert Murphy Stable, Hunter Jumper Show. There are two of those. I guess that's the first. I'm not sure. Maybe the second. Anyway, also, if you want to take the kids to something cute, today and tomorrow, Miniature Horse Julep Cup Show. The little minis are out there. Now, next weekend, brace yourself, it's Briar Fest. All 10 million little girls in their plastic horses have actual horse shows and exhibits. And they dress them up and they groom them and everything. And it's wonderful. They come from all over the country for Briar Fest. It's huge.
We'll have to get into that. I can afford to feed them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's maybe the biggest thing they have out there as far as attendance and exhibitors is Briar Fest. It's huge. Oh. It's just...
What about the World Games they had last year?
Well, I bet there's more exhibitors at Briar Fest because there's a gazillion little girls.
Okay.
But anyway, I read that somewhere. Anyway, yeah. Also, next weekend is Champagne Run at the Park. Champagne Run is a stable out here off Old Richmond Road. And they're very competitive, and they have the show at the Horse Park. July 16th is the Bluegrass International Cup Polo. I guess they're shipping them in from Ohio or somewhere. It's a big deal. July 18th to the 26th is the United States Pony Club Festival, and July 22nd, 23rd is Christmas in July at the Horse Park Campground, and I'm not sure, well, sure, I guess they got stuff for sale.
Let me catch up on my commercial here.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, well, last Sunday, Mountaineer Lunar Mist, a four-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, shipped in from California and won the $75,000 Firecracker Stakes. Now, Lunar Mist won earlier this year at Santa Anita, and she was stakes placed last year at Arlington. Her Firecracker win comes just a week after Malibu Pier, another four-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, won the Grade 3 Beverly Hills Handicap at Santa Anita. Bred by B. Wayne Hughes, Malibu Pier has won three graded stakes this year. The sire of 52 stakes winners, Malibu Moon, currently ranks 8th on the general sire list. He ranked 3rd last year. There are 4 Malibu Moon yearlings in Wednesday's phase he tipped in July sales, plus first crop yearlings by the young Spencer Stallions, Inner Mischief, Notional, and Tis Wonderful. Inner Mischief, he's by Harlan's Holiday, won grade 1 stakes as a 2-year-old, and brilliant speed, 6.5 furlongs and 114 at 2. He also, the next year, as a 3-year-old, ran 7 furlongs and 120 and 1. Notional is a multiple graded stakes winner, and he's bred he's by the sire of Indian Charlie. Tis Wonderful by Hall of Famer Tis Now was undefeated at 2, winning a pair of graded stakes at Churchill Downs. For more information, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffey over at Spendthrift Farm. See the website, spendthriftfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
All right, I want you to check this website. It's equinefarmmanagement.com, and that's an organization that was established by Ron Wallace back in 1995. And what he does, he helps owners of horse farm owners enjoy their farms. He comes in and sets up farms for you. If you bought land and it's just virgin land, he can build a farm for you. And he has all these connections. He knows who the best builders are around here, people who can do a reasonable job for you, some people you can trust. He can hire help for you. He can manage the farm for you because he, you know, he's had management positions at Judmont, Three Chimneys, and he's an experienced horseman. And he's he can select from pre-qualified and appropriate contract labor, do your payroll for you, everything. You know, he just can set it up. He's done work for a lot of people around here that we know. If you're going by down to Parris Pike down here, what's the name of that farm down? Hurricane Hills on the right as you're going out. You've seen that,
yeah,
Frank?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful place. And he designed that right from scratch.
That's
and
gorgeous.
Summer Wind Farm over on Ironworks Pike.
That'll
over
do.
There close to you. That's another one. It's a gorgeous place. He's done some work for Arundel Farm, Applewood Farm over in Versailles, Paladese Investments, Live Oak Stud down in Florida.
Oh, and, my, that is fancy.
Oh, yeah, you see there, they've bred a lot of good horses.
Place.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous place down there. So he's really done first-class work, and he's a really nice guy. And once again, Ron Wallace, equinefarmmanagement.com, and his cell number is 621-1655. So if you need some help on your farm, you kind of let him come in and look it over and see, make recommendations to you, and he'll do you a great job. And you'll be glad you met him because he is a nice guy. That is equinefarmmanagement.com.
Are they playing any? Good. I hate
Arthur Hancock. Arthur Hancock is singing as we speak.
Thanks, Arthur.
He's
sit
over,
down.
He's over in the
That's
corner
enough.
There picking and grinning.
That's enough. We're through. Okay, now, Equine Humane Center Horse of the Week. Now, listen up. This is a nice one. Pony Clubbers and maybe 4-H'ers. This little filly is 2. She's almost 3, according to the calendar. She was foaled at the Humane Center in 2008. Somebody brought in a mare, and she was pregnant. And this is a nice-looking little thing. I wish you'd look. She's got a nice shoulder. Look, she's got nice withers. She's 2. She's going to be 3 in another month. If you know, I mean, she's not.
Well, they sure feed them out there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but look at her. She's nice. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing odd about her conformation.
No.
She's nice.
She looks real nice.
Yeah. So this would be a great project for a... They've started her under saddle.
You tell Lori Nagle to pull her mane.
Yeah, I'll tell her. Yeah, exactly.
We'll see that Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Sophie.
Isn't that nice looking? She's 14, too. Yeah, there's nothing wrong. Look at that nice shoulder.
Okay.
A lot of times they get them...
Okay.
Yeah, you get them a lot of times down there, and, you know, they're pitiful. She's right nice looking. Anyway, they say she's a Mustang cross. I don't know what that means. Dark bay, 2-year-old filly.
It means they don't know.
Very little white, right. Exactly. So go to kyehc.org and check her out. New Vocations Charity Horse Show is up in Ohio. Delaware, Ohio, as a matter of fact. But you can sponsor a class for $100. You can do all kind of stuff to help these people. It's tremendous. We've gotten pictures now of the filly we had that's up there. They placed her in a home, and she's got her own 14-year-old little girl. So, if you're interested, you need to go to horseadoption.com, maybe application at horseadoption.com, or run up to that show. It's excellent. Okay, let me get... Oh, Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers have Hats Off Day, so... What this is people that get into the horse park that day get a free horse farm hat, stallion hats, farm hats, equine industry business hats, anything. You got any hats that you're not using, take them to the farm managers, or if you want somebody to pick them up, oh, you can drop them off at Rood and Riddle or Equine or Haggard's or Woodford Equine, or if you want somebody to pick them up, Alicia Earlywine, 233-0371. Deadline is Tuesday, August 8th. Hats off day at the horse park is Saturday, August 6th. So they want them the Tuesday before. Ooh, I want to mention my favorite restaurant, the Tulip Bistro and Bar. If you remember when Bill Vandendoel had the Black Tulip out in Midway, fantastic food. And that was his son, Spencer Vandendoel, was the chef. Well, Spencer's picked up all the what wasn't nailed down? All the silverware and everything. Anyway, he's down on 355 Romney Road in Lexington, and he calls it the Tulip Bistro and Bar. It's French-American cuisine. Named one of the top 10 restaurants in Lexington, in the Bluegrass, doggone it, by the Lane Report. And I suggest you, you can have meetings there, too. They can seat 30 for meetings and dinner. So it's got a terrace. Well, it's not a patio with chairs. And so it's very nice. 355 Romney Road. Let me give you the phone number, 367-6687. That's pretty easy, 367-6687. Or go to the website, thetulipbistroandbar.com. Lakeside Arena today, this weekend, Mounted Games, July 30 and 31st is the monthly Kentucky Hunter Jumper KHJA show. Gardenside Suppers at Shaker Village, July 23rd is the next one. It's $85. You can, what
I've
do you call it?
I got indigestion already.
Yeah, I know. You can Google. It's because their website is something funny like old-timey Pleasant Hilly, that kind of thing. You know, you can't do ShakerHill.com. It doesn't work. But you can do Shaker Village and Google it, and I'll give you a phone number, though. It's 800-734-5611. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope's always looking for volunteers. Quiet, nice, 15-hand, 14-2 horses. My daughter participates, so it's a wonderful thing. Now, Windstar Farm has something they call Windstar Stablemates. It's a kind of a membership, and you go online, and you can be free or you can upgrade, but you get games and contests, farm cameras, and a members-only website. Farm cameras are pretty cool, so WindstarFarmStablemates.com.
All right, well, through July 3, More Than Ready was the number one-ranked sire of 2011 stakes winners with 14. A list that includes Buster's Ready, winner June 25th of the Grade 1 Mother Goose, and Hungry Island, winner July 2 of the Recording Sticks at Belmont. Of course, More Than Ready was the leading juvenile sire last year, and he ranked third on the general sire list. More Than Ready stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Last Sunday, at Monmouth Park, the Grade 3 Jersey Shore Stakes went to Flash Point, a three-year-old colt by Pomeroy. And the $156,000 Clarendon Stakes at Woodbine was won by Making Amends, a two-year-old colt by Repent. Pomeroy is also the sire of Mel Beach, winner July 2 of the $100,000 Frank Gomez Memorial at Calder. Pomeroy stands at Vinery, Florida. Repent stands at Vinery, New York. Kentucky, Florida, New York. Vinery provides the finest facilities for boarding, breeding, and breaking, and training, sales prep and sales, rehabilitation, and bloodstock services. And be sure to check out the Vinery consignment to the Fasey Tipton July sales. Philly by champion Sire More Than Ready, and a colt and a filly from the first crop by the young Grade 1 Stakes winner Street Hero, and a colt by Rockport Harbor they're selling as agent for Fox Hill Farm. For more information, get in touch with John Gasper, Francis Relihan, Grant Williamson, Steve Castanola at Vinery. 455-9388, the website vinery.com.
Sherman County, as about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
July 4 at Belmont, the Grade 1 $250,000 Prior Stakes was won by Her Smile, a 3-year-old filly by Include. Bred by William M. Baker, trained by Todd Pletcher, Her Smile went into the Prior's off a third in the Grade 1 Acorn. She's also finished second in the Grade 3 Comley at Aqueduct this year. She won three of her four starts as a two-year-old, including stakes at Philadelphia last year. Include is the sire of 10 individuals which have won a place in Grade 1 stakes. He has sired an average of two Grade 1 stakes performers in each of his first five crops to race. He has, in those same five crops, sired an average of 10 stakes horses per crop. He has a dozen already this year. Four of his 10 Grade 1 stakes winners have won Grade 1 stakes, so he can take you to the winner's circle at the highest level. A Grade 1 stakes winner of more than $1,659,000 and a son of champion sire Broad Brush. Include stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Watch for the Include yearlings at the major sales, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. Bingo. All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour of this, whatever you want to call this show. Call it various things, I think. I've got Frank Betancourt with me. I've met Frank out here, I guess, when was Frank? Last summer you started?
Last summer. We started coming out here.
Yeah. And Frank trains for Mr. Prep. What's that? Oxbow Farm. And that's Mr. Preston and the Preston brothers.
Yeah, Art and Jack.
Art and Jack, yeah, and Art, this basically is Art's that you're training for, right?
Basically, Jack's involved in some of them, but most of them are Art's.
Yeah. All right, who owns Flat Out?
The real owner is Art.
Is Art, okay. Yeah. And you had him out here.
We brought him out here last year. We trained him at the farm quite a bit. But over there, basically, our gallops are on the grass, and we wanted to get a little more out of it, so we brought him in here about four or five times and breezed him to get him ready to ship out. And
I remember he breezed you real good one day. What was that, 5/8 and something?
He went in 59-1.
Yeah, that's about as horses don't go that fast out here.
Yeah, I looked at the clock, and I thought I was wrong, but you had the same time.
So we were either both wrong or we were both right.
We may be both wrong.
That's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, but he did well, and this facility was a large part of getting him ready to return this year. So
he then, of course, he went to New York. You sent him on to who's got him? Dickie?
Charles? Scooter Dickie, yeah, Charles. Yeah. We sent him off last fall. And he took him to New Orleans and got a race in him there at the fairgrounds and won. And then he brought him to Churchill. Or actually, he took him to Lone Star and ran second. I think his first out in about 4 or 5 months. Ran second in a Grade 2 down there to Awesome Jam. And then he didn't quite show up for the Stephen Foster, which we can't figure out what happened there. But New York, he sparkled there.
Yeah, he won the Suburban.
He won the Suburban, and he finally kind of confirmed what we thought of him as a two-year-old, actually. We were pretty high on him back then, but he just had so much to overcome, and thank goodness it's all coming together for him now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, you had to take your time with him. Did he have some quarter cracks or something?
Yeah,
or?
He had some really bad quarter cracks. Front feet and then back feet, and right after the Arkansas Derby, he came up with a hairline in his shoulder.
Is that right?
So we had to nurse him through all of that for about a year and a half. And fortunately, Mr. Preston is very patient.
Well, he's been around a while.
Yeah, he's been around a while. He's had seen a lot. And he gave us the time and the means to approach it the best we could. And he's being rewarded for it now.
Didn't he own a Belmont Stakes winner?
He owned Victory Gallop.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, we were talking about him just today. We're both kind of disappointed that he went overseas. He said if he had known about it, what the outcome was going to be, he would have just gone ahead and by himself, brought him back here and kept him here. But that's the way it turned out. But he's still a favorite. I mean, he's,
yeah. How long have you been with him?
I've been with him for about 5 years now. I met him back in Texas, that's where I'm from, and knew him before. And then we got together about 5 years ago, and it seems like it's working for the both of us.
Yeah. You from Texas, you say? Was your family involved in with horses down there?
My dad rode for years back in the 60s and early 70s in Arkansas, Nebraska, and Old Centennial in Denver.
Denver, yeah.
So that's how I got into the game. And
yeah, you were kind of born into it then.
I don't think I had much of a choice.
Did you? Well, you rode races too then.
I rode for about 13 years.
Is that all, just 13
that's
years?
About, it looks, yeah, 13 years in, in the Southwest, and then in a couple years in Florida. And then as time and weight got to be a factor, then I kind of started riding quarter horses too. So, but I've been riding since I was about 15.
I bet you, if I ask you, you'll have the answer to this. What was the name of the first horse that you won with?
Strawberry Reb.
Then these ex-riders never forget.
I don't remember to take the trash out, but I remember what horse I rode 30 years ago.
You're right. Where was that now, Frank?
I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, my goodness. Santa Fe. The track down there now is Redoso?
Well, I think they've got about four tracks going on. Redoso runs in the summer, and I think Sunray Park also runs. And then in the fall they have Hobbs and Sunland.
Okay.
It's a lot different than when I was riding.
Any of the riders that you rode with at that time kind of stand out in your mind?
Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. I came around about the same time as right after Jerry Bailey. Patrick Valenzuela, I started off with him. Mike Smith, he's mm-hmm. still a good friend. Garrett Gomez, I remember my wife used to babysit him.
Uh-huh.
He was a rotten little kid.
He was a rotten little kid?
He was rotten. But he grew up well. He's done well. So we've got a lot of friends that have done well.
Yeah, well, that's fun. Well, let me catch up on this, and I'll get right back with you. Well, July 2 at Belmont, the historic Grade 2 Suburban Handicap went to Flat Out, a five-year-old horse by Flatter. Bred by Nicholas Bach and trained by Charles Dickey and owned by Preston Stables, Flat Out had the lead after a mile and 1:34.3. That's pretty good pace there, wasn't it, Brian? He finished out the 9 furlongs in a near-track record time of 1:46.3, and he won at the direct expense of him, the son of Arch, who went into the Suburban off of stakes win at Belmont. Flat Out is one of 8 2011 stakes winners by Flatter, a list that includes Tar Heel Miss, winner of 3 stakes this year, including the Grade 3 stakes at Gulfstream and Grade 2 stakes winner earlier in her career, and Apart, winner of the Grade 3 stakes at Delaware this year. Winner of 2 graded stakes last year and placed in 2011 running of the Grade 1 Stephen Foster Churchill. Flatter, of course, is the son of champion AP Indy. He signed runners, so watch for his 2011 sales yearlings, including 3 in next week's Phasic Tipton July sale of selected yearlings. For more information about the Claiborne Farm Stallions, contact Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Sunday at Belmont, the Grade $250,000 matron was won by Million Reasons Why. It's a two-year-old filly, a grand slam, bred by Tom Evans, Ten Lane Farm, and a Aratus Thoroughbreds, and sold as a yearling at Keeneland for $115,000. Million Reasons Why is 2 for 2. Broker maiden in the slop at Colonial Downs on June 11 by 4 lengths, and she won the matron going away by 2. She's the 65th stakes winner, sired by Grand Slam. 9 have won stakes this year. 5 of them have won graded stakes. Grand Slam is one of four sires based at Coomore's Ashford Stud, ranked among the top 20 on the 2011 General Sire List. Million Reasons Why is just one more reason why you should take a good look at the Grand Slam yearlings at the major sales, starting with the three in the Fasig Tipton July sale Tuesday. In other stakes, last weekend, the $127,000 DS Shine Young Memorial went to Contu Kitten, a two-year-old filly by Taylor the Cat. Undefeated in three starts, Contu Kitten is the 77th stakes winner by Taylor the Cat, who ranks ninth on the general sire list. There are four yearlings by Taylor the Cat in the Fasig Tipton July sale. Grand Slam, Taylor the Cat, both stand at Coomore's Ashford Stud, leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coomore. All right, I'm talking to Frank Betancourt here, who just informed me that Garrett Gomez was a rotten kid.
he made a better man.
Okay. He made a pretty good race rider, too.
Pretty good race rider.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He was something else. Tell you what, I remember his mom used to be, just about on a daily basis, she'd be tearing him off of other kids, and it wasn't the little kids he'd pick on. He'd pick on the big ones. Yeah, so. But he's a good guy.
Well, he wasn't the brightest guy in the world doing that.
No. He held his own though. He was okay. Yeah.
What's the best horse you ever rode?
Thoroughbred. I rode a horse that we got off of Charlie Whittingham right after. His name was El Fantastical.
Okay.
He's a horse from Chile, a Cougar the Second horse. That ran out a couple hundred thousand and ran, I think, fourth to John Henry in a stake race and third to Affirmed in another one.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as thoroughbreds, that'd be the one. He was special. He was a handful, though.
Yeah.
That's now, the only reason I got on him.
Yes. You rode for 13 years on the flat?
And then
how many years as quarter horse? Did you combine them both?
I'd say about the last 5-6 years, I started to ride a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to ride one quarter horse one day. A friend of mine had another call in that race, and so I picked up the mount, and a horse ends up winning three or four stakes races as a two-year-old, and suddenly I was typecast as a quarter horse rider. So
yeah,
go figure.
Well, these days and times, you know, I mean, there's a lot of money in quarter horse racing, you know. You know, there's a couple of trainers here that have got them. Wayne Mogie trains a couple of quarter horses, and Matt Frazier has done real well with quarter horses here.
I've seen some out there. They look pretty nice. Yeah. I guess a couple of them are T.L. Joneses, from what I understand.
Yeah, Hutch Mogie.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the ones that Wayne has, Mogie. Matt Frazier has got some for... the people that own the farm right
Gentry.
Over here, Gentry Farms over here, the Gentry Brothers.
Brothers from Texas.
Remember them.
And then for his dad, too. In fact, he won three or four stakes with them already this year. Some at Hialeah, and then I guess earlier were Indiana Downs.
I guess.
Oh, he went to Remington and won somehow. Yeah.
He's up on the hill, right?
He's up there. What barn are you in, Frank?
I'm in seven.
You're in seven? Yeah, he's. I think he's in that second row, about three or four barns up there in the second row.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What was the most fun riding, thoroughbreds or quarter horses?
Oh, gosh. I would have to say quarter horses. Thoroughbreds, there's a lot more strategy and a lot more involved, but quarter horses is just pure adrenaline for 22 seconds.
And then it's done.
And then it's done.
Yeah, wow.
So it's... A little bit. There was good in both of them.
Yeah. Then what'd you do when you stopped riding?
I became an assistant to a quarter horse trainer that I also rode for. His name is Russell Harris. Russell was a top trainer out in California. And he was a good buddy of Wayne Lucas's, and he had I don't know how many world champions. And so I went and worked for him. As an assistant for about a year and a half, and then another opportunity came around, so I kind of shifted over to thoroughbreds again, and here I am.
Yeah. Do you start training?
We trained a little bit, but my wife and I were both raised in the industry, and her dad trained for years also, and he was always gone away from home. And my dad was gone for most of the time that I was growing up, so we kind of came to an understanding, which she pretty much...
I hear that saying.
That once our boy started going to school, we were going to try to stay give him as more of a, as good of a home life as we could without having to travel so much.
So
we stuck around in Texas for a long time, and we're blessed and fortunate that we had enough business year-round doing layups, rehabs, and breaking babies that we didn't have to go anywhere.
What'd you have, a farm down there or something?
We trained at Retama for years, and at breaking season, we'd rent a barn about maybe 30 minutes south there. Mm-hmm. So basically, we were there for 15, 16 years without missing a beat.
Well, that's great.
That worked out well.
How many children did you have?
Just one. Yeah. We've got a 22-year-old that is in training to be a Navy SEAL.
Oh, my goodness. Hats off to him.
Yeah, he's an awesome man.
Wow. You must be really proud of him.
Very proud. He's done well. He's done better than his breeding.
He's outrun his breeding.
Outrun his pedigree, huh?
That's fun. Wow. Gee whiz.
Where is he now, Station?
In Hawaii.
That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, he's really having a hard time right now.
So he's still in training?
He's still in training. He's got a little bit longer, and hopefully it'll work out, but he loves it.
How do those guys come up with that kind of mentality?
I don't know. If you were to ask me years ago what he was going to do when he's 22 years old, the last thing I would have thought was be a Navy SEAL, because he wasn't focused at the time, but for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, now, how big a guy is he?
He's about 5'10", 5'10", 5'11", and weighs about 165, and not an ounce of fat on him.
Just betcha.
Solid.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's great. Yeah.
Good
well,
for you.
How'd you get hooked up with Mr. Preston?
With Art, actually, the man that was helping Art put all this together at the time was Dr. Quirk, Ken Quirk. And I'd worked with Ken before, basically in the same capacity, whenever we were helping out Ropara at Millennium Farms. So we kind of got that started, and then as Art started to venture into the horse racing business again, Ken approached me about possibly reuniting with him and helping him and mm-hmm. so forth. So I thought about it for a while and thought about it, and... here we are.
Now, Retama, what's the closest city?
San Antonio.
San Antonio.
Yeah, it's right on the outskirts.
Yeah, okay. So you came from Texas to Kentucky.
Texas to Kentucky. We, who knows, you just never know what life is going to bring you.
No, I know. How long have you been up here now? 5 years?
About 5 years.
Yeah. Where you live down in Paris?
I live about right around the Centerville area.
Centerville.
Yeah. So do we.
So do we. Yeah, we're
right
not far.
Close to that Six Winters farm right off of Hawkins Cummins. Right close to there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're right around. We live on Clay Kaiser.
Oh, yeah. That's.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah. They'd walk over there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. I'm not about to, but.
Is that the place with the pond?
No.
Which one is it?
It's on Hawk and Cummins now.
It's on Hawk and Cummins after you make the turn off 460. Oh, okay.
Where's Mr. Preston's farm?
It is the old Golden Chance farm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a nice place. It's an older place that he's kind of fixed up a little bit.
Oh, good.
But it works for what we do.
I imagine.
It's a nice place, very nice.
Yeah, a lot of good horses.
Come out here sometime.
A lot of good horses came off there.
A lot of nice
now, what'd you do? You bought a place over on Hawkins Cummins, or what?
My wife and I bought our own little place it's big enough that we can keep a horse or two, and that's about it.
Yeah, how many acres do you have there?
Six. Which is plenty.
Plenty.
You go to mow it, it is.
Yeah. I had no idea until we started mowing.
I don't get you do a lot of mowing down in Retama.
No, down in Texas, you're lucky you mow once a year.
Yeah.
Here it's every 5 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me about it.
That's funny. Yeah.
Well, we just got 22 acres, and
that's 20 more than I want to mow.
you got that right. I can take care of the yard.
That's what I told my wife. Next time we're just going to buy a townhouse or something.
Yeah.
With a lot of cement.
You can't keep. What kind of horse you keeping there? The riding horse? Or?
Well, at the time when we bought it, we had an old saddle horse we brought with us. And then we buy about two babies every year, weanlings. Then we sell them the following year.
Oh. So. Fin hooking.
Yeah.
That's okay. A good idea.
So, well, you buy them out of the November sales?
November.
Yeah.
And she picks one, and I pick one.
Who's doing the best so far?
Well, I was in front, but this year I think she blew past me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, she's...
What have you got this year to sell?
We've got a forestry colt that I picked out, and she bought a majestic warrior colt.
Okay, that's his first crop.
That's first crop.
Yeah, okay. And of course, the other horse has been around a while. He jumped up with a good stakes winner the other day.
Yeah, he has. Every time Shackelford runs, we cheer loud.
Yeah, you go. Where do you sell?
We've been selling in October here at Fasig.
Okay, at Fasig Tipton?
Yeah.
Yeah, in October. As yearlings?
As yearlings.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, you bought them as weanlings, you'd have to sell them as yearlings. Yeah, yeah, well, that's fun. Yeah, we ought to try that, Jackie, but we'd lose.
Yeah. We ought to try that. We ought to do that this year. Would you all pick us out?
You might have to ask her. She's doing really well.
Yeah. We can follow his wife around and make notes, see what she looks at.
Yeah, she's really... She knows what she's doing.
Yes, she does. Yes, she.
That's great.
Well, that's fun. You don't breed, don't have any mares or anything, and just buy a couple of weanlings.
No, we don't. Right when we came up here that last year, we had three mares that we owned ourselves, and we sold. We had one they claimed off of us, and two we sold in the November sale.
Okay.
So that was the last of the racing stock that we had.
Or did you breed and race your own?
No,
one time?
No. We just kind of happened upon those. We didn't plan on it, but old client of ours passed away, and his family didn't want to run the horses anymore, so we bought them off of him or his estate, and God is good. Those three ended up doing really well for us.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you go, my friend.
Very enjoyed. Interesting. Enjoyed this interview.
Well, thank you. We have fun when you come out of here and harass you.
Yeah.
It's always interesting.
It's a whole lot happens up here on Cocker Stand, doesn't it?
Yeah. Just like my boy today when Kevin hit the ground. Remember we were watching him and you just mentioned how nice a stride that horse had?
Yeah.
And I headed down the steps and I heard the siren go off. It was that
horse.
That
was yours.
I just knew it too.
Is he all right?
Yeah, they were both okay. I saw the horse jogging off over there, and Kevin was fine.
Has he been with you long, Kevin?
He just came up here about 6-7 months ago.
And somebody said he's no quarter horse rider.
No quarter horse rider. I told him he owes me $5. How much I'm going to have to spend to get all the mud off of him.
Oh.
Car wash.
Well, I guess he gets tired after 22 seconds.
Yeah. That just hose him down.
Yeah.
You know, we had to put in a pole from the gate, an eighth of a mile, to the pole right directly across from us, the white pole.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's right in, that's right almost in front of your barn. No, what's...
Yeah, anyway,
it's 220 yards from the gate to that pole.
Okay,
had to put one in because we couldn't clock those things.
Yeah, without that pole.
Out here when you clock the thoroughbreds, they got a big run to the 5/8 pole. You know, before we clock them all the same, but it's a pretty good run. Yeah, but
yeah, quarter horses were quitting by the time we were putting a watch on them.
Yeah, they were pulling up. What the hell is this?
Let's do that again.
Yeah, right. All right, Frank, thank you.
All right,
good to talk to you.
It's good seeing you as usual.
All right, well, the Fasig Tipton July sale of selected yearlings begins next Tuesday. Take a good look at hip numbers 109 and 169. Both are from the first crop of First Defense, a young grade one stakes winner with a superb pedigree. He's by the top sire and bridal song out of the grade one stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough to grade one stakes winners and grade one sires Empire Maker and Chester House out of the grade one stakes winning broodmare of the year Troussade by El Gran Senor. A multiple graded stakes winner, First Defense, printed 7 furlongs and won 21-2 to win the Grade 1 Forgo at Saratoga. Got the same distance and won 20-4 at Churchill Downs, won 22-1 at Belmont Park. They had brilliant speed. There are also 3 yearlings in the sale by Mizzen Mass. Hip numbers 42, 208, 252. Now, Mizzen Mass is a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners, won Grade 1 stakes himself, and he's the son of the leading sire, Cozium. For more information, contact Garrett O'Rourke and Fry and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk about my good friend. That would be Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Now, Tom has always got great lists. He's got great people working for him. Reggie Bushell and Joel Brown and Mike Morrison, Jonathan Knoll, Ryan Teeter and Brad Knoll, Broussard Hunley, Joan Rich and Lisa Melling. Really nice people. And very capable people. They have to be if they're working for Tom. Tom is, of course, one of the top real estate agents around here, one of the top auctioneers around here. Matter of fact, he's one of the auctioneers over at Fazy Tipton, Kentucky, so he'll be pretty busy starting next Tuesday. And he's got some great properties for sale. There's several of them close to us, one on Greenwich. 313 acres, which was the woodland division of Dixiana, and it's completely improved, incidentally.
And that's in a beautiful area.
It's a beautiful area, and just up the road from it at Elizabeth Station, there's a 50-acre place there, a little over 50 acres. It's turnkey. Got a nice, really nice house on it.
And it's got nice roads.
Yes.
Darn, I'm so envious of
yeah.
Nice road.
It's perfectly suited for sales prep and breaking and training layups. And Tom's a great guy to do business with. He's just a great guy, period.
You know, there's a place on up Clay Kaiser toward Peacock right off 27. He's got two now.
On Peacock? Oh, no. You mean on Clay Kaiser?
On Clay Kaiser up past us, up closer to 27, to the Paris-Cynthiana Road. I saw it when I was driving in.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, man. I didn't know about that one. That's a nice farm.
Yeah, and it's far enough away from us where we can't bother you.
Yeah, I know.
So the neighborhood improves. The further away you get from us, the more improvement there is. But he's got some great places. And here's how you get in touch with Tom. It's Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers and BiedermanBrokerage.com. And Tom's name is spelled Biederman. And his phone number is 277-2030.
And speaking of people that live off the Cynthiana.
Yeah, talk about our good friend there for a minute.
Yeah, Jim Fitzgerald. Jim Fitzgerald's from Ireland and absolutely one of the best horsemen I've ever been around. Period. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just oozes what he knows. He's been in it his whole life, and he knows what he's doing. He's got two farms. He's got Knock Griffin number one over on the road from Paris to Georgetown, and Knock Griffin number two. No, that one's called, don't tell me, Harper's Island. And it is on the Paris-Cynthiana Road, and I drove by that the other day, and it is gorgeous. He is so good at buying property. This was a cattle farm, and he fixed it up, and it's gorgeous. Absolutely out of this world, and his background is just impeccable. Irish National Stud, how's that do for you? Dr. Michael Osborne, John Williams at Spendthrift, and Lee Eaton. Good heavens, that's excellent. He's had Knock Griffin for 17 years. Harper Island, I just told you about. It's just beautiful. They're about 10 minutes apart, those farms. Drive right by our place, and bless his heart, he mows for us. Gee, what a nice guy. Anyway, boarding, sales prep, public and private sales transaction, rehab. In fact, there was a horse that was injured, a big time, worth a gazillion-dollar horse at the World Games, and guess who they called? Jim Fitzgerald to fix that horse up, to get it ready to go back abroad. So you can't do any better than Jim Fitzgerald. And he's a master of the hounds. KnockGriffinFarm.com or 987-8032.
All right. Very good, Jackie. Oh, let's see. Oh, here we go. I think they're playing some music down there. You playing music down there?
What is it?
There it goes.
Just to get your foot to tapping.
I woke Mary Jane up, doggone. I'm sorry, Mary Jane. All righty.
She's probably listening to some FM rock and roll.
Rock and roll stuff down there?
I don't know.
Okay. Should I talk about General Duke now? I've been trying to talk about him for a while.
Sure. Oh,
all right. This is reviewing Thrills of 1957.
Yeah, I remember. You're into where I really remember these horses now. I was a mere child. But
well, that was a great crop, Bold Ruler, Gallant Man, Round Table.
Best of all time.
Yeah, I would say.
That's what everybody seems to think.
I would think so. Iron Leeds was in there, Clam, Federal Hill, Vertex. You know, Promised Land was in that crop. It was a really, really... And this horse might have been the best of the bunch. Of course, he died... Unfortunately, you know, before he could go on. But he was a foal, of course, 54. He was by Bully out of Wistful, who was my son again, bred and owned by Calumet and Jimmy Jones, trained him. Now, Wistful was one of Calumet's really top mares. She was a half-sister, incidentally, to Coal Town, who was a brilliant racehorse. And Wistful won the Kentucky Oaks, and she won the Pimlico Oaks. Pimlico Oaks now is, of course, the Black-Eyed Susan. And she won the Coaching Club American Oaks. She was named after the filly that had won the 1917 Coaching Club American Oaks. So they plagiarized a little bit. And as a matter of fact, General Duke was named after the winner of the 1868 Belmont Stakes. So there's been, two General Dukes.
Top I didn't realize that.
Well, now you know.
Now I know.
See, if you'd listen to me every now and then, you'd learn something.
Yeah, but I hate to break old habits.
I'm sure you haven't. Well, he was slow kind of coming around. Didn't race but twice as a two-year-old. Broke his maiden first time out by 9 lengths in August at the old Washington Park. Well, it actually was the new Washington Park. The old Washington Park closed in 1906. But this was the new Washington Park.
Barely yesterday.
But it closed, I'm not exactly sure when it closed. In the 70s, I think. It was in Homewood, over on the southwestern side, I guess, of Chicago. And Homewood, there was a real good Italian restaurant in there. We used to go over there. It was owned by some ex-mobsters. I'm not sure they
places were. Wall-to-wall mobsters.
I'm sure they...
Gosh.
And I'm not sure they were ex at that time. But anyway, they had good spaghetti. So you could go over there anyway.
How can you hurt spaghetti? Of course, then, it was unusual in those days. Nobody ever heard of spaghetti.
Well, let's get back to in those days. Let's get back to General Duke. And the second talk he started, he got off bad and Buck DeShean's doing the race. Ran third. He was coupled with Iron Leeds that day, incidentally, who finished sixth in that race. Iron, let's see, General Duke began his 3-0 year on the January 3rd at Tropical Park, another track that's, no longer around. And he ran second to Gallant Man, going 6 furlongs and 109-2, which equaled the track record. Gallant Man was extremely versatile. You know, here he is setting a track record, going 6 furlongs, and then he won the Belmont Stakes at a mile and a half. And you know, he was a top racer. And little, he wasn't a very big horse.
Did he wind up at Claiborne?
No.
Oh.
No, he went to stud at Spendthrift.
Oh, okay. I just remember seeing the plaque. I couldn't remember which barn I was in.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he was at Spendthrift. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. A pretty good sire, too. And not as good. See, he and the top three that year were Bull Ruler, Round Table, and Gallant Man. And, of course, the other two were better sires.
And Round Table was at Claiborne.
Round Table, and so was Bull Ruler, of course.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Foal there and raised there. And of course, Round Table was bred there. I mean, he was Claiborne bred. Moving right along with General Duke... So anyway, after he ran second to Gallant Man, he came back on the 22nd, and he won a race in Allowance Company in the mud. 8 days later, he went in the Bahamas, and he ran second to Bull Ruler, and they set a new track record that day. Won 22 flat for 7 furlongs. Federal Hill was third, and he was a miler, but he was a fast miler, and He was by a cosmic bomb, I'm pretty sure. A fella down in Louisville bred him. I can't remember what his name was now. Shame on me. Let's see. That was a few days later. Iron Leeds beat him by 2 lengths, going a mile in a 16th, and set a new track record that day. Man, he was hooking some monsters, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And a horse named Missile ran third. Missile was by War Relic. And he went to stud over at the stallion station. And then this season, next up was Everglades, and General Duke defeated Bull Ruler by a head. It was 6 lengths back to the third place horse, and that was Iron Leeds. And they didn't break a track record that day, but they ran a mile in 8th, 147.2, which was a fifth of a second off the track record. And on March the 2nd, in the Flamingo, Bull Ruler ran the first mile in 134.2 with General Duke, was 9 lengths back. And it when you gave Bull Ruler that kind of lead, generally it was pretty bad news. You weren't going to catch him, you know, and he didn't. Bull Ruler beat him by, you know, by head, but he couldn't get to him, and set a new track record that day, going a mile and an eighth in 147 flat. Went over to the Fountain of Youth over Gulfstream Park. And Mr. Jones sent out a 3-horse entry for Calumet, General Duke, Iron Liege, and Barbizon. Barbizon was the son of Polynesian, who had been the champion too. He was ranked at the top of the free handicap as a 2-year-old after he'd won the Garden State Stakes. And General Duke and Iron Liege ran 1-2 in that race, and Barbizon was 5th. It was a field at the end of the end, and Slop Better Be ran 3rd, and Better Be was by Triplicate in Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire bred him, yeah.
And he went on and sired a Preakness winner in BBB. I think that's what the horse's name was, a race for Will Farish. And Better Be went to stud down at E.K. Thomas's farm down in Paris, in Bourbon County. He came back on March the 10th, and General Duke ran his last good race of his career, although he was to run 2 more times, and that was in the Florida Derby. Run on March the 30th, go to Gulfstream Park, $100,000 a mile and an eighth. 5 starters, General Duke, Bull Ruler, Iron Lead, Shan Pack, Federal Hill. Federal Hill set the pace, as was expected. Arcaro, who was on Bull Ruler, had a nice hold on Bull Ruler that. I saw this race anyway. Hartack moved General Duke. He was on General Duke, and he moved up to Bull Ruler going down the backstretch and stayed with him until they were about the 3/8 pole, and then he gave General Duke a breather and took back, and it looked like that he was beat because he dropped 3 lengths off of it.
Yeah.
And Bull Ruler went on and took on Federal Hill. And
that turned out to be really, really smart.
Well, it was. Nobody ever accused Hartack of being dumb. And he went after him, gave General Duke a breather, as I said, and then he went after him in the upper stretch with General Duke. And at the 8th pole, there were 4 horses across the track. They were just heads apart. And it was 4 lengths back to Shan Pack. Then Federal Hill stopped. Bull Ruler was beaten by the 16th pole. And he finished a length and a half behind General Duke and ahead in front of Iron Liege. Shan Pack was 4th, and Federal Hill had faded to last. But he just got beat about 5 lengths for all of it at that. The time for the mile and eighth was 146.4, which equaled the world record. And at that time, you'd have to say that General Duke was the best 3-year-old in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they sent him to Keeneland, and they put him in a race, in a no-betting race against 3 other horses, and got beat 3 lengths by Iron Liege and One-Eyed King. One-Eyed King was by Naz Ruler. I'm pretty sure he was a full brother to Bald Eagle. Nice horse, and he was One-Eyed. Did have One-Eyed. It was an off-eye. And they've equaled a track record that day. 7 furlongs, 122.2. And General Duke cooled out sore after the race. They took him up east. They took him to Louisville after that, yeah. And on April the 30th, he ran second to Federal Hill in the Derby trial and got beat 2.5 lengths and pulled up bad again. Entry went off at 2-5. Next morning, he was dead lame. Now, that was on April the 30th. On May the 13th, they had sent him to Pimlico, and he worked a mile in 1:40.4, and again, he pulled up lame. And finally, in July, they sent him back to the farm. X-rays showed that he had a fracture of the pedal bone. He went back and trained in January 1958, never did run again. Turned out to be a wobbler, and they had to put him down. But year end of the handicap, 127 pounds on the year end handicap. That was 3 pounds below bowl ruler and a 200 gallant man in round table. But you know, prior to his injury, I would say he was probably the best 3-0. A lot of people thought he was the best 3-0 in the crop. Well, there are two yearlings by Jazzle in the phase he tipped in July. Sale, hip number 94, is a filly out of America, which has already produced a stakes winner of over $1,268,000. Plus another that's placed in grade two stakes. Hip 199 is a half-brother to Recognition, and you might have seen him win stakes down at Turfway. He's going on $200,000. So look them over. They're sired by a classic winner with one of the best pedigrees in the world today. Jazzle won the grade one Belmont stakes. So did his half-sister, Eclipse Award winner Rags to Riches. Jazzle's dam won the Kentucky Oaks, produced 3 graded stakes winners, and his grand dam of 2 champions. The third dam is stakes winner and foundation mare best in show. Jazzle's first and third dams were both brood mares of the year. Jazzle, the son of Seeking the Goal, is sired a 2-year-old winner from 2 starters in his first crop. And when the distances stretch out, just watch for the stamina that carried Jazzle to a classic victory. Jazzle stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, Brist class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Bluegrass Cat won a pair of graded stakes at 2, won a grade 1 Haskell, ran second in a grade 1 Kentucky Derby, to grade 1 Belmont, and a grade 1 Travers at 3, earned more than $1,761,000. His first foals raced at 2 last year, 11 have won a place in stakes, so they came out running, just as expected. There are 5 yearlings by Bluegrass Cat in next Tuesday's Fasey Tipped in July sale. Harlan's Holiday is a proven sire of grade 1 stakes winners. He is the sire of 8 stakes winners already this year. There are 7 yearlings in the sale by Harlan's Holiday. Sharp Humor, a graded stakes winner by the brilliant Distorted Humor, is the sire of 13 stakes horses in his first crop to rank number 1 in that category. And he was the leading Kentucky-based sire of 2-year-old winners in 2010 with 24. There are 3 yearlings in the sale by Sharp Humor. Eclipse Award winner Sprightstown is a proven grade 1 sire. In fact, he has sired 4 grade 1 stakes winners. He was the nation's leading third crop sire in 2010. He is the sire of hip number 167 out of a daughter of Hall of Famer, Tis Now. There's also a colt in the sale by the grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire Spring at Last, hip number 76. Now, Spring at Last was bred to over 200 mares in his first 2 seasons of stud, and his first foals, now yearlings, figure to come out running, just like those of his stablemates, Wins Bluegrass Cat, Harlan's Holiday, Sharp Humor, and Sprightstown. They all stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, got a few minutes here.
Are you going to read that thing?
It's kind of long. I don't know if I have time to read this or not.
I don't know, because you got this and maybe got a short one.
Found a short one in here. Wait. Shoot, I wanted to read this because it was funny.
Which one is it?
It was the one about making...
How long is it? Oh.
two and a half pages.
I don't know. How long does that take?
About 2.5 hours. Give or take a second.
Read every other word.
Oh. Well, I'll try it.
He laughs at everything
right.
I say.
Many people who want to learn... Well, this is written by Joe Palmer. Many people who want to learn about horses go at it the wrong way. They go to Cornell, where the animal husbandry department is considered very good. The proper thing to do is to sit in one of the four chairs which occupy the corner between the grill room and the elevators at the Lafayette Hotel here, say from 9 to 12 in the morning and in the early evening, and listen. After that, you can go to Cornell and fill in the gaps, and you'll know things the rest of the graduating class have not been taught. It's not always certain that these things will be about horses. This department, in search of a refresher course, since the weather was too chilly to bathe in Elkhorn Creek, took up occupancy in one of those chairs next to the one occupied by Mr. George Crebo, who's bred and raced horses with fair success, but is mainly concerned with picking winners at $4.60 for readers of the Detroit News, and in betting and losing on 20-to-1 shots. "Stay put a minute," said Mr. Crebo. "I've got something for you." He dashed off and returned presently with a small package, very heavy for its size. It was, said the printing on the top, "Old Forester Gel." The contents, it stated further, were sugar, water, whiskey, citrus, pectin, and citric acid. It was, in other words, jellied whiskey, or whiskey jelly, as you care to put it. You eat it on things. At this point, I became convinced for the 22nd time that I had no business sense, a matter which will come to no surprise to my friends. I had discovered, or rather rediscovered, the idea behind this at least 5 years before, and if it had been put to commercial use, I could have had enough money to get into really serious trouble. We were having some people in to dinner, and the companion of my joys and sorrows, observing that the meal was fairly heavy, was casting about for a light dessert. The casting was being done in the Bluegrass Cookbook, a volume which deserves a column in itself. This particular copy had lost its covers, some of its pages, and part of the others, and ordinarily was kept tied up with a string. It contained items like how to make soap, this being some time before social leaders could make money advertising that they washed their faces, but my pet in it was a recipe for bitters. "Take 1.5 gallons of fine old whiskey," it began. At publication's time, this wasn't much, for Kentucky then had a law that keepers of toll gates, who evidently had a habit of holding up their customers, could not charge more than 12.5 cents for a pint of whiskey. At the moment, a man making bitters would be in for something like $35 before he got to the second ingredient. The recipe extracted this time was for wine jelly. You take unflavored gelatin and dissolve it in water and put in a bit of lemon juice. Then, in this instance, a bottle of Madeira was dumped in, the whole business put in a mold and then in the refrigerator. I pointed out that this would not gel because of the alcohol involved. I should have had more respect for history. It gelled. When it was served, it looked like one of those quiver things which give children extra energy to break windows and to pull the kitty's tail. Our guests took a look at it, and you could see the thoughts forming in their minds. Jello, by all the saints. But they bit it for politeness, and then manners took a turn for the better. The reasoning was that if wine would gel, anything would. And the idea was kicked around a bit until a neighbor with more initiative came in with a small blob of green material and said, "You've been talking about it, now eat it." It was a stinger, though the wrong creme de menthe was used, and it was jellied. I ate it. Hell broke out. A stinger, as I suppose you know, is made of brandy and white creme de menthe. If you order one at a bar, it'll be made in a proportion of 2-to-1, and the bartender will use the cheapest brandy in the house. But if you know this worthy and can persuade him to change the proportion to 6-to-1 and use good brandy, the result is often remarkable. If you get one after dinner, you will sip in it for 20 minutes. But if it's jellied and you eat it with a spoon, it goes down in two. The detonation is more immediate and will convince the most skeptical. A warning should be added. If you try to gel a stinger, it will go into the refrigerator looking as sparkling as an autumn morning, and it will come out looking like something like scraped from the bottom of the Missouri River. That's what the citric acid is doing in the Old Forester gel. A dash of lemon juice, and it stays clear. This has been tried with a martini, which was introduced into the dining room in Jamaica. By actual count, 8 people had a spoon in it, and it was pronounced remarkable, if not prodigious. Handy to take on a picnic, one man said. You can see the multifold advantages of this. A lady is traveling alone on a train, for instance, is sometimes sensitive about ordering a couple of slugs before breakfast, fearing that a false, or even worse, a true impression may be given to passers-by. But if she were just eating jelly on her biscuit, nobody would pay any particular attention, and she would be stiff as a mink by Philadelphia. It's a small corner, but you learn in it. Okay, that was written by Joe Palmer. That was a fun one. Last Sunday in Mountaineer, Lunar Miss, a 4-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, shipped in from California to win the $75,000 Firecracker Stakes. Lunar Miss was won earlier this year at Santa Anita, and she was stakes placed last year at Arlington. Her Firecracker win comes just 1 week after Malibu Pier, another 4-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, won the Grade 3 Beverly Hills Handicap at Santa Anita. Bebba B. Wayne Hughes, Malibu Pier, has won 3 graded stakes this year. The sire of 52 stakes winners. Malibu Moon currently ranks 8th on the general sire list. He ranked 3rd last year. There are 4 Malibu Moon yearlings in Wednesday's Phasic Tips in July sales, plus first crop yearlings by the young spendthrift stallions Into Mischief, Notional, Tis Wonderful. Into Mischief, he's by Harlan's Holiday, won grade 1 stakes as a 2-year-old. He had brilliant speed. He ran 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 as a 2-year-old. 7 furlongs and won 20-1. Notional is a multiple graded stakes winner by the same sire as Indian Charlie. In Tis Wonderful by Hall of Famer Tis Now was undefeated at 2, and he won a pair of graded stakes at Churchill Downs. For more information, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffee at Spendthrift Farm, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. I'm just informed by Resi over here that we have 3 minutes. So stand by and I'll sing a song or two for you.
Oh, no, you won't.
Well, let me talk a little bit about the Thoroughbred Center here.
And then I want to mention again the
go ahead
Equine
mention.
Health and Alliance.
Yeah, go ahead and
okay,
mention that.
Okay.
Nice of Dwayne to come in and fill in today.
Yeah, this is a night at the Pavilion for the Equine Health and Welfare Alliance. This is Ireland's Irish tenor, Anthony Kearns, and I've heard his voice. It's unbelievable. Tomorrow night, July 10th from 6 to 9, and a bourbon tasting from 6 to 7. Singing starts at 7:15. It's at Phasic Tipton Sales Pavilion out on Newtown Pike. Let me give you the phone number, 227-0879, 227-0879, or you can go to equinehealthandwelfare.org.
All right. All right, getting back to the Thoroughbred Center, we have had, in the first 8 days of racing this month, 16 winners from the Thoroughbred Center, including 3 stakes winners, and that would be Roxalana Stakes at Churchill was John Booker Sandal, the winner. The $84,000 Indiana First Lady Stakes at Indiana Downs, Wayne Mogie Saddle, the winner. The $100,000 Golden Bear Stakes, also at Indiana Downs, Eduardo Caramori Saddle, the winner. Now, since the last week's show, which by my math in a week is 7 days, I hope, we have had 10 winners in the last 7 days, and those were saddled by Steve Casey, Matt Frazier, who saddles a quarter horse to win at Indiana Downs. We were talking about him a little bit earlier. Horse named Strutting High. Karen Vecchio, Maria Pinzon, Bobby Sturgeon, Tommy Mills, Wayne Mogie, Eduardo Caramori, John Booker, and Miroslav Nava, all saddle winners. And, of course, they train right here at the Thoroughbred Center. I want to thank Resi Duke right here in the clocker stand with us. I want to say thank Mary Jane down in the studio for getting us through here. And thank
you
all.
You're supposed to go to WLXG.com for apps and uploads and links, and we're live around the world.
And I better bail out. Talk to you all next week.
Happy birthday.